You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Let's check the marketplace at this hour with our regular Friday analyst, Mike Zuzulow. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting and not on the western side of the Corn Belt in Atchison, Kansas today, but rather traveling, much like I have been all week. This time around, he's in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Mike. How are you there in Ohio today?
Skies and no lake effect snow right now, so I'm hoping I get that last flight out of here for the afternoon and then get to Chicago and see exactly whether I get back to Kansas City or not.
Well, good luck making it all the way back. Hey, some things that have been happening for the week, and maybe we should start with the day. I've been on the road a lot. I believe there was a cattle on feed report that was just released. Is that right?
Yes, there was, and it didn't have a lot of surprises in it. The on-feed as of December 1st came in at 101. That's right around the average trade guess of 101. Placements during November coming in at 96%, very close to the average trade guess, and marketing's also coming in at 89%. That's a little bit low of 90.1% average trade guess, and this is all based upon the Reuters updates. So, you know, you got a little bit of a negative bias, maybe a somewhat negative bias in the marketings because they're a little bit slower than the trade was expecting. But as far as placements and on-feed as of December 1, pretty much neutral.
Apparently, either the trade was expecting something different today, or they just decided to bounce. It's been really ugly for the live and feeder cattle for the last week or so.
I really think that the feeder cattle have had a very strong move based upon computer model trading and the algorithmic trading because they went down limit for five sessions in a row. The CME group came in, I think, yesterday and announced an emergency action, raising the limit, saying that the price discovery was not being allowed to happen. And you know, I don't know how to read that, but as soon as those limits were raised, it seemed as though the market wanted to turn back around. And so I think you had a substantial amount of computerized trading liquidation. I think they've been pretty heavily involved, those computerized traders, in buying feeders and selling corn for most of 2014. I wonder whether they're not unwinding and unwrapping that spread, or have been unwinding and unwrapping that spread, partially because of the fundamentals in corn, but partially maybe because it's just going into the end of the year. So it has been a very violent, volatile market, and looks very much like crude oil earlier this week and looks kind of like corn earlier in the year.
Well, hopefully they'll learn something from that at the CME group and be able to figure out how to make price discovery work a little bit better. 5 days in a row is a long time to be locked.
Agreed, and had a lot of cattle guys calling me back in Kansas and other places while I was on the road wondering whether this was the place to buy. And I do think that these feeder cattle prices are down there at this point, where getting a little bit of purchases in place would be a good idea if you don't see any more negativity come out of Russia. And, you know, you don't have to see a lot more negativity come out of Russia before they go just right back into a Soviet era or Soviet style economy. So if we see things cool off in Russia, we see things cool off in the dollar, I think this might be a place not only for feeder cattle purchases for the winter, but also this is where I'm recommending people start getting into the diesel market and getting their spring needs locked in.
Right. So let's see. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about, you mentioned diesel fuel, and while we're at it, we may as well talk about crude oil, the price of crude and how it relates to gasoline and diesel and what producers ought to be doing for the coming season. You're suggesting that this may very well be a good place to begin locking in some fuel needs for the coming year?
Yeah, I think that it has come down quite a bit. I'm hearing $215, $220 for spring transport load prices, and that sounds about a dollar lower than what we've been dealing with here the last year. The stocks this week from the Department of Energy came in lower than trade estimates. We're still barely in the five-year trading band right now, and we quite frankly go into a time period here, Todd, where we can't build production because production seasonally goes down into April. And so I'm thinking that this crude oil break, because of the Russian situation and the dollar skyrocketing, could be an opportunity because we've fallen so sharply. And when you lose almost 50% in crude oil and you start to see that translate into the distillate prices, I think that might be an opportunity here, and that's what I'm going to be recommending. And the last thing that I looked at was the winter weather updates, and it's still looking very, very cold for most people's forecasts. So if that's the case, you're going to have difficulty building heating oil stocks as well.
What led the wheat market lower for the day?
you know, I think profit taking, we've essentially went up 13% in six sessions, and so that is just an amazing rally. I also think, given that Russian news has now culminated in exports indeed being pulled back, and that they're only going to allow about four countries to see their Russian wheat, is the latest, you know, that we've been finding out. I think these things probably combined would suggest that, hey, why don't we take some profit towards the end of the week? But I would caution, and I've been on the mindset of hedging the wheat up at this 625, 640 level in the new crop July. I would caution that we really want to be careful about not overdoing it to the hedge side. Be conservative on your hedges. Be thoughtful on your hedges, because the Egyptian GASC just came out this afternoon and said we're looking at tendering, and they've actually got U.S. soft red wheat back in the mix for the tender. And so you have to wonder whether the trade is ready for improving U.S. exports because of what's going on in Russia. Have we priced that in or not? And I think the best way to look at that technically is that this 200-day moving average, which has been resistance for many, many months, is now back as support on a weekly close right around 625 in July soft red wheat. So I want to see if that 200-day moving average holds or not next week as we go through the holiday.
Your view of old and new crop corn?
I still like holding the old crop corn at this point, simply because the cash market, I think, and the basis has some more upside potential to it as we get into the new year. And in 15 corn, I would be a little bit more eager to get some sales in place as we get into the holiday. And a lot of this has to do also with cost of production. Your cost of production is a little bit lower in the 15 crop. So this $4 cash price, $4.15 cash price, for, say, January 16 delivery, that's a profitable price. One client near Bloomington, I asked him what he was thinking about profitability at these current price levels. He said, I think I could probably swing about $50 an acre profit, and that's paying me a salary and taking care of all the bills.
And the soy complex.
I would suspect that, you know, I'm only about 10% left over with the 14 beans. I'm probably going to hold on to those as we go into the January-February time period, with the idea that maybe South America could have a weather play. New crop, though, is a totally different situation. If you prioritize your hedges, I'm suggesting be more aggressive in beans, followed by wheat, and then running up the bottom of the stack of hedging the new crop corn. So I think being 40 to 50% of your 10-year production in beans before you go open presents on Christmas morning may not be a bad idea if you get up back up to that 1025 to 1045 level.
I know they were preliminary numbers. They'll come out in February, but USDA yesterday posted some numbers to its website, taking an outlook at the marketplace. They're very preliminary, and they're longer-term numbers. Did anything in those surprise you, make you go, oh, I didn't realize that? Or were they ho-hum?
I was surprised they took the beans over 500 million bushels, especially since they let these out so much earlier than they normally do. And it makes me wonder how the bean-corn ratio and the funds are going to play this after we get done and come back from the holidays. Are these numbers going to create an environment where the trade tries to buy more corn acres because they take the USDA numbers seriously? So that did surprise me, Todd. I thought they would probably hold below 500 million on their baseline numbers.
All right. Thanks so much, Mike. You have a great holiday.
Todd, Merry Christmas to you, your family, all the Will Radio family, and also all our great listeners. Happy holidays.
Thanks so much, Mike. That's Mike Zuzula, of course. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Comes to us from Cleveland, Ohio today, where he's been traveling. Hopefully he'll have safe travels back to Atchison, Kansas. We'll catch up with him again on our regular programs and Commodity Week immediately after this program on our home website at willag.org and on our home radio station at WILL and many of these radio stations tomorrow morning.